This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Just pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage, and we pray that you'll really speak to us as you give Dan the opportunity of just leading us in understanding how Jesus taught us to pray. Help us in this. Pray that Dan will be given the strength by the Spirit to explain it helpfully and understanding for everyone. We thank you for his service. And we pray that we may come to know you, Heavenly Father, as one that is loving, one that we can honour, and one that we can love, one that we can know something of being able to forgive others and be helped from being led into temptation. We thank you for this wonderful prayer, and we pray that we may honour it and understand it more and grow in our knowledge of you as a Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. We ask this in our wonderful Saviour Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ian. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you today as we think about kingdom power as we continue our series in the Sermon on the Mount. You may remember back on the 4th of May, I was hosting and I came up with a lightsaber because it was Star Wars Day. And here I am again, and I'm going to be talking about Star Wars. So I came across an article this week in The Telegraph, and this was the headline: Lord's Prayer more recognised than famous Star Wars phrase. So apparently, the Church of England took a survey of 2,000 adults. This is what they're doing with their time. They took a survey of 2,000 adults, and they found that 80.3% of respondents correctly identified "Give us this day our daily bread" as being from the Lord's Prayer, whereas only 79.9% people got "May the Force be with you." So by 0.4%, the Lord's Prayer took it. And the Lord's Prayer is more recognised than the National Anthem, Shakespeare's Hamlet "To Be or Not to Be" quotation as well. So something about this prayer that we had in our reading today really sticks with people. It's some of the most well-known passages of words in the world. Christians have been praying it for thousands of years since Jesus first taught it. And Jesus is kind of pulling back the curtains for his relationship with his Father, and he is inviting us in. Now, these are not magical words that we can just kind of give as an incantation that will kind of bring us blessing, but they are a beautiful pattern and words that can deepen our relationship with God as we understand his kingdom more. But I'd like to start, before we dig into the Lord's Prayer, by thanking the people who make the live stream possible. We don't always get a chance to thank the people who do the live stream, but it's sometimes there's like emergencies and they're fixing things to get it online, and they do a great job. I think it's Ben out the back today, but there's lots of people who make the live stream happen, and it is really, really great that people everywhere can listen to the live stream. The slight issue as a speaker is you end up knowing exactly how long you've been going for, particularly if you overrun. It was a little awkward. Apparently, last year, I had the record for the longest sermon, and I had overrun. I don't know what it was. Maybe 38 minutes. I don't know. Some bits shouldn't have counted. Fortunately, I believe David Trenier took the title from me before the end of the year. He's not here to defend himself. But just to be clear, I'm not aiming for that today. But by the time we get to this point in Matthew 6, Jesus has been preaching for quite a long time. You know, most sermons will kind of have 3 points, maybe 4. I think, again, David had a sermon a while back that had like maybe 6 or 7 points, and he had to like write them down on a card for us to take away. But by the time we get to this point on the Sermon on the Mount, I think this is about Jesus' maybe like 9th point. And he's covered anger, lust, oaths, retaliation, loving your enemies. He's going to talk about prayer. He's talking about fasting. It's a lot to take in. And to be honest, it's not also the easiest to hear as well. You know, I'm not a murderer, but Jesus says, if I have hate in my heart, then the same judgment is on me. You know, I'm not an adulterer, but Jesus says, if I lust in my heart, then I am. Jesus has been saying that life in the kingdom is transformational across the board, but it's hard. And the disciples listening are perhaps struggling to take it all on board. Is what Jesus asking, maybe it seems too much. Maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you've been hearing these passages being like, this is a lot, you know. We need power to do this. We need help to live in this kingdom way. And the disciples have seen Jesus in action. They know where his power comes from. In John 5:19, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, the Son could do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Jesus is always depending on the Father for help and power to live the kingdom way. And he does it through prayer. And so the disciples see Jesus praying all the time. He's tired, so he prays. He's appointing apostles, so he prays. He's full of joy, he prays. He's sorrowful, he prays. And that is how the kingdom becomes a reality. Jesus' transformational life comes through his prayer life. We desperately need help if we want to apply all that Jesus has been teaching about in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus' answer is, pray. But what should we pray? Olivia was talking last time about the ways we shouldn't pray, but what should we be praying? Well, in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, we see that Jesus has been praying, and the disciples just come and ask him. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. It's a great question. So if you've been listening to Jesus' words and you think, I need help, then the prayer that Jesus prays is for you as well. So how do we pray to know the power needed to live God's way? Well, firstly, we see we need help from a father. Now, when the disciples first asked Jesus how to pray, I wonder what they thought his answer would be on how they were supposed to address God. You know, perhaps they thought they had to address him as maybe the Lord of hosts, referring to him being the ruler of the armies of heaven. Or perhaps they thought they would refer to him as the creator of heaven and earth, because by his words, all things were made. Jews in the first century would often start their prayers with, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. They could have gone with Most High God or Adonai, which means Lord. There is no one like you, no one who competes with you. You sit on the throne and all power and authority are yours. But Jesus doesn't say any of those things. This is what he says. Jesus says when you pray, pray like this. Our Father. Our Father. What? What? What a crazy, glorious truth. You know, the disciples have been hearing Jesus many times praying to his Father, but he's the Son of God. And yet he invites us to say, our Father. Now, many of us will have had good fathers who love us, and some of us will have had fathers who maybe haven't done a great job. But when we see Father written here, theologian Jenna Wilkins says that we should think that he is better than the best moments you've had with your earthly father. And he is nothing like the moments in which your earthly father failed you. He is a good, good father. And understanding that we pray and communicate with the Father, is essential to understand what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, what it means to be a Christian. J.I. Packer writes this. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much they make of the thought of being God's child and having God as their father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls their worship and prayers and their whole outlook on life, it means they do not understand Christianity very well. Understanding that God is our Father goes to the heart of the gospel, that at great price we have been adopted into God's family. Becca and I have the privilege of running the Thrive internship here at Holland Road. And recently we've been discussing with Paddy and Maggie, our current interns, how sometimes different cultures tend towards interacting with God in different ways. You know, some cultures might primarily see God as judge who brings justice, and that is wonderful. He will bring justice one day, and he is that. Other cultures might tend towards seeing God and interacting with God as friend, and he is that. He's a friend of sinners. Both of those things are wonderful and true. But if he was just a judge, we would live in fear and guilt that we've broken his law. And if he was just a friend, then we'd live in fear that we've kind of broken that relationship. He doesn't want that friendship anymore. We've let him down. You know, God is multifaceted. He has so many wonderful characteristics that describe him. But Jesus primarily asks us to call him Father, and that changes everything. Glenn Scrivener says, "We are not world-weary soldiers calling on a heavenly sergeant major. We're not overworked employees calling on our divine line manager. We are children, adopted in the Son, calling on our Abba, Father." Abba is best translated as kind of dear father or dad who I honor and love. It's a term of deep intimacy. God being our Father means he welcomes us with open arm, like a child comes to talk with you. And our prayers are a pleasing aroma to God. He loves it when his children come to talk with him. They are family, and nothing can change that. And this is what makes Christianity different from every other religion, that we dare to call him Father. And what a relief that is. A child doesn't have to do anything to prove they are worthy of being a child of a parent. They just are. And as God's children, we are met with gentleness and kindness and acceptance and sometimes discipline, but only ever in love to draw us back to himself. Now, prayer does not make you more acceptable before God. Prayer is growing in appreciation for what we have already been given. Mike Reeves writes a book on prayer, and he says this: "It may be that your heart is cold, your love is weak, and your prayers are shabby." All those things apply to me sometimes. "But what matters is that united to Christ and in him, you are a cherished son, and your Father delights to hear you." So this is how we become adopted children. Jesus becomes our brother. We are united with him through his death on the cross. He takes our sin and gives us his status as a son, the one who inherits the kingdom. He brings us before the Father, and the Father says, "My children, Jesus and us." It's as if the adoption papers have been signed in Jesus' blood, and that cannot be undone. Through Jesus, we've been brought home, so we don't have to shout our prayers to a faraway God or a silent heaven. We can come to the heart of heaven and almost kind of whisper to God, our Father. And that's amazing to think about, because our prayer starts with our Father who is in heaven. Our Father sits on the throne of heaven. He's above everything. All things belong to him. Nothing is beyond his power. And yet we come into that presence and make our requests known to him. Then we come before him with reverence because he is king, but also with great confidence because we are his children. I love this quote from Tim Keller, who says, "The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is his child." We can come with great confidence and boldness. And it's not simply remembering that our Father is in heaven. It's understanding that when we pray, that's where we've been invited into. You know, when we're praying in our homes, in our workplaces, at the kitchen sink, at the bus stop, we are stepping into the presence of God who is in heaven, kind of the place where angels fear to tread. There's a sense that we've been invited into heaven itself when we pray. So as we cry out for help, for power to live for the kingdom. Jesus starts by asking us to remember that we have a God in heaven who is on our side, and we get to call Dad. You can ask him anything. But this is just the start of the prayer. Jesus continues, "Hallowed be your name." I wonder what you think when you hear the word hallowed. I think of something like this. This is the hallowed ground of Wembley football, the home of England, the England national team. It's holy ground, and that's what hallowed means, holy. It's not that holy, really. But holy means to be set apart, special. But if we're saying that about God's name, you know, God's already holy, isn't he? Why would we need to make God's name holy? Well, to pray for the hallowing of God's name means to pray that God's name, his character, would be precious to us. We would enjoy him. We would praise him. To hallow something is to worship it. Our hearts will always hallow or worship something. To worship something is to desire it, to want more of it, to love it, to celebrate it, to let it control us. And if we're not hallowing the source or meaning of goodness and hope, freedom and satisfaction in our Father, then our hearts will be torn apart with false gods. And Jesus has been teaching us about this. He says, don't lust because we often worship sex. He says, give because we often worship money. He says, love your enemies because we so often worship power, particularly over people who disagree with us. He says, fast because we often worship food and having things and security that that brings. To follow the difficult things that Jesus has been teaching about in the Sermon on the Mount, we have to pray to the Father to reveal more of the beauty of who he is so that other things fade away. Have my heart, God. May all of it be yours. It's something we have to pray daily because our hearts are prone to wander. Maybe you feel like your heart has wandered from God, feeling distant, cold. And if that's you, because it's certainly me sometimes, then remember the story Jesus tells of the prodigal son. We've heard about it a couple of times today. I had no idea people were going to mention it. Of a son who had wandered away and rejected his father, and yet as he returns home in repentance, long before he gets there, his father sees him and he rushes to him and he embraces him and says, my son who is lost has come home. Let's celebrate. This is the God we worship. Do you know God as your father? If you don't, if you're exploring Christianity, then this is what it's all about. And he's inviting you into that now. He's inviting you to call him Father. And if you are a Christian, do you need reminding of who God is? Your relationship with God is rooted in being able to call him Father, and you are his beloved child. The prayer continues, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been invited into this kingdom of God where he reigns, and our prayer is that others would see it too. Jesus reigns in this kingdom, and he is perfectly just, and he is perfectly gentle, and it is transformative. I want you to just stop for a second and think, what would it look like if Jesus' kingdom touched every aspect of life here in the UK? What would families be like? What would our neighborhoods be like? How would colleagues interact with each other? What would our politics be like? What would our friendships be like? How would businesses be run? Just take a second. Businesses would be places where truth and justice are the top priority. Politics would be where people disagree respectfully and always give rather than take. Colleagues would never put someone down behind their back but lift others up. Family members would always support each other. And as I think about it, I'm like, oh, that'd be so good, that would be amazing. But I'm part of the kingdom and I'm not always amazing. And that's because in my life and in yours, there is a battle of wills. My will, my desires, what I want for me versus God's will, what he desires for my life. And I think we're coming to the most daring part of the prayer. Are we bold enough to ask God that his will be done over our will? See, to be able to live the kingdom, in life in the kingdom, is to say, your will be done, which is to say, God, I want to obey you, to trust what you say is best, to put his will above our will. And Jesus, again, has been asking to do that throughout the whole sermon. Our will would be to hold on to anger against those who have hurt us. But God's will is reconciliation. Our will is to look and lust, but God's will is to say, cut it out. Our will is to hurt someone back if they've hurt us. But Jesus says, turn the other cheek and love your enemies. Our will says, keep as much stuff for yourself. And Jesus says, have you thought about fasting and giving? We need God's power to help live in this way, but it is costly. When we pray, are we seeking God's will, or are we trying to bend God's will to ours? You know, God, if you would only do what I'm asking you to do, then everything would be all right. It'd be better for you, be better for me. It'd actually be better for you, God. But that is not what prayer is about. E. Stanley Jones writes this great quote I enjoy about prayer. He was a missionary to India. He says this: if I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Just read that last bit again. Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. I want to be aligned with God's will. I want to follow him. But it's difficult to give up control, isn't it? It may mean facing difficulty. It's hard to give up putting ourselves first and letting go of our sin, but it's also safer to put ourselves first. But God has bigger plans. And it may be his will that we will face hardship. You know, God never brings evil into our lives, but it may be his will that we face things that we'd rather not face. Maybe things to change us or draw us nearer to him or to give him glory. You may be facing some of those things. And you may not get to see what God is doing in the difficulty. Maybe you will, but maybe you won't. And that is really, really hard. Well, how do I know? Because Jesus found it hard. As Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before he's arrested and crucified, he prays this: everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. I've actually missed a couple of words from the beginning of Jesus' prayer. Does anybody know what those words are? Yeah, that's what he does. It is Daddy. He prays this: Abba, Father. That was Jesus' prayer in the hours before he went to the cross. It comes back to the Father relationship with God. We have to be convinced he is a good father, even in the midst of impossible circumstances. Now, my daughter, Sophia, she likes to eat crayons. And sometimes we have a battle of wills about it. She will have one in her hand, and she will direct lock eye contact with me, and she will smile, and very slowly just bring it to her mouth. And the whole time I'll be like, don't do it. Don't do it. And to her, my reasons for telling her not to eat the crayon are just completely mystifying to her. Not eating the crayon for her is very costly. It's what she wants to do the most. But I hope in time she will come to know that I'm trying to be a good father. And for her, perhaps there'll be times she doesn't understand what I'm asking her to do, but she will trust me. True power in the Christian life comes from letting go and saying, Father, I trust you. Are we willing to pray that bold prayer? Your will be done. Secondly, and more quickly, for power in the kingdom, we need help from a family. As we move to the second part of the Lord's Prayer, I'm just going to read a prayer that has been written and see what you think. This is what it says: give us today all that we truly need, bread for our bodies and yourself for our souls. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Forgive us, O God, we are debtors, rebels, wanderers, and because you have cancelled our debt at the cross, Make our hearts quick to forgive those who wrong us. Lead us not into temptation, but guard us from the deceitfulness of sin. Rescue us from the power of the evil one, and make us love righteousness and hate what is false. For yours is the kingdom forever. Yours is the power unchallenged. Yours is the glory unfading. Let every breath praise you forever and ever. Amen. Amen. It's pretty good, isn't it? I like the sound of it. We said our amens to it. Well, do you know what? I can guarantee you that God was not listening when that prayer was written. How do I know? It's because AI wrote it. I asked ChatGPT, which is Microsoft's artificial intelligence, to write the Lord's Prayer in the style of John Piper, who's he's a famous preacher. And that is what it produced. It's actually a really great prayer. And I'm not saying we can't use AI, because it's really helpful. But it sounds impressive, but it means nothing. It's just artificial intelligence. And Jesus warns about praying things with no meanings. Olivia talked about this last Sunday. A few verses before in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. They're just praying big words for the sake of big words. And he's like, don't pray like the pagans who just keep going with their words. It's empty. It means nothing to God. So what does good prayer look like? You know, sometimes we're with people kind of who are praying, and they pray so well, you know, and they sound so natural, and we can think, well, I can't pray because I'm just not going to sound like that. But the prayers that God in heaven is interested in is real prayers about real things from his children. Because the next few verses are a real gear change. You know, we start with this kind of, our Father who sits in heaven on the throne, his kingdom is going to come and continue to grow until it's the only thing in the whole world. You know, he's going to, we ask him his will to be done. And then we ask for bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And it can be easy to think, God's not really interested in prayers like that. Small things in our day-to-day lives. He is above such things. Maybe that's what we can think. And the reality is, he is above such things. He is above everything. There's no prayer or situation that is beyond God. So we can bring anything to him. Our cosmic concerns or daily bread. And he loves to hear them. And in these verses, Jesus talks about asking for provision, pardon, and protection. Asking for provision that daily we would rely on God for what we need. Enough to be generous, but not too much that we rely on it. We ask for pardon, that God would forgive our sins, wash us clean from the sins we've committed. And that knowing we've been forgiven, we can forgive. And we pray for protection, knowing we're not strong enough to do this on our own. We're in a spiritual battle with Satan, who wants to discourage us and weaken our faith. So we pray for one who is stronger than him. These are real things, day in, day out things. But notice, these prayers don't say, give me my daily bread, forgive me, protect me. It's give us our daily bread. Forgive us, lead us not into temptation. And it's not that it's wrong to pray for ourselves, but Jesus is giving us a pattern here. Now, most of us don't pray like Jesus is praying here. I certainly know myself that when I pray, I very quickly get bogged down in a shopping list of things I want or need, and I'm very me-focused. But Jesus flips that around. He says, start with God, focus on him, that gets everything into perspective, and then pray for your family, your Christian brothers and sisters, and then pray for yourself as part of that. See, life as a Christian is not doing things as an individual. We're part of a community. We need help to live the kingdom way. And Jesus has been preaching about one of the main ways that we get help. That power comes through the prayer of our brothers and sisters. James 5 says this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Our Father hears our prayers, and they make a difference. They have power as we pray for each other. And this week I've been praying the Lord's Prayer just at different times of the day. And I've been praying for it, for you, for different people in Holland Road. And I have to say, I feel like I've been more blessed by just having that time to do that. So what should we pray for our brothers and sisters? Well, it can be anything, but I think primarily we should pray for more of Jesus for each other. You see, to pray for daily bread is to pray for physical provision, but it's more than that. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. To know forgiveness is to know Jesus as he goes to the cross and forgives all our debts. He calls us to forgive and offers us the power to do it. He said to pray against temptation is to admit weakness and invite Jesus, who resisted temptation, to come into our lives and to fight for us. To pray for protection against evil is to know that Jesus defeated Satan and his forces of evil at the cross and stands in victory. Our prayers have power. So let's pray for more of Jesus for each other. As we close, does anybody know what it is in 10 days' time? Do the Mass. It's June the 25th. So it's halfway to Christmas. Are you getting excited yet? No. C.S. Lewis talks about the Lord's Prayer being like a Christmas tree. The lines of the prayer are like branches. And our personal prayers are like the decorations we hang on the tree. So this week, I'd encourage you to read or pray the Lord's Prayer. You'll remember, if you want to go to any more detail about the Lord's Prayer, we actually did a series on it last year, so I'm sure you can find those online. We prayed the Lord's Prayer each day. I'd encourage you, just take a couple of minutes to pray the Lord's Prayer. And as you go through the lines, you might want to add your own prayer as you decorate this great tree that Jesus gives us here. So we've got our weekend away next weekend, so I'd encourage you just each day until that moment, take a few minutes to pray. And you can just pray it as it is if you want. Or you can add your own decorations. I'm going to ask the band to come up. And just as they kind of play in the background, we're just going to have a few moments to pray some of the Lord's Prayer in our hearts. And up on the screen, there's just going to be just kind of ideas to help you thinking. As you pray that line, what things can you be thinking about? What kind of like decorations can you use just in these moments now to say, you know, your kingdom come, what does that look like? And just add your lines to that prayer. So just take it, you might want to write it down even. Just take a few moments now in your hearts and minds to think through this prayer, and then I'll pray. If you're able, would you stand? Let's come before our Father. I'm just going to pray. So, our Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you that you are our Father. You invite us into heaven itself. Lord God, this is an incredible name you give us to pray. Lord, give us the courage and the boldness to pray that, to pray you as our Father, Lord, thank you for your love, your care, your generosity. Thank you that we cannot lose being a child of yours. Thank you that you are in heaven. Jesus, I thank you, you are in heaven, that you stand above all things, and you are praying for us right now. Lord, we want to hallowed your name. Lord, we want to worship you. Forgive us when our worship is cold. Lord, we're sorry for those times there are false gods, idols in our lives that we put above you. Lord, please restore your throne in our hearts. Lord, your will be done. Lord, we pray for more of you and less of us. Lord, we know you have good things for us. Help us when we can't see those things to trust in you. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are maybe facing those things, that they would know the strength to still say, your will be done. Thank you for your provision, your pardon, your protection. Lord, that you give us what we need. Lord, we need more of you. I pray for anyone who needs here, Lord, who perhaps needs to hear from you today, maybe for the first time, to cry out to you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness, the pardon you offer at the cross. And Lord, I pray that you protect us from the evil one. I thank you that you have victory at the cross. You remain undefeated forever and ever. And that you've given us that victory. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, who made this prayer possible. Amen.